Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry. Whoop. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Blog Talk Radio decided to mute you again. There we go. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. I'm happy to have you here, Richard. Richard was on a gig and just stopped what he was doing at this phenomenal three-day conference and has joined us, and I am so happy. I get so flubbered trying to do Blog Talk Radio chat and this piece because we're simultaneously broadcasting with Richard from Blog Talk Radio and then over on our chat at soundhealthoptions.com, we are video broadcasting. So,
it's
Richard,
a lot of juggling.
What's the conference about that you're doing?
It's called Call of the Forest, and sort of the foundation of the conference is we watched, it's not quite finished, but it's almost finished, a film called Call of the Forest, which is by, or it's not actually by her, but she is the subject of the film, a woman, Diana Beresford Kroger, who was a cardiologist, a surgical cardiologist who is inventing things like artificial blood and doing incredibly leading-edge thinking, and found that the field was not very receptive to what she was doing and not interested. You know, they wanted her to, like, just cut and replace and do that, and she was interested in, like, finding new ways to help people. So she quit and became a botanist, which blows my mind if you think about how many years that is. And so she's a botanist who understands the chemistry of the benefits of the forest. And so the film talks about a couple of areas. One is that there's this thing that, and actually she did a lot of studying in Japan because there are doctors and professors in Japan who study this, where you go into areas of forest and you actually take time, because inhaling the aerosols, in other words, the vaporized oils from the trees, actually has long-term beneficial effect on your immune system. So if you go stand in a forest for 15 minutes and breathe in, just inhale, you know, you're not doing anything. There's nothing magical here. You're not jumping up and down on one foot. You're just inhaling. And you inhale in the forest, that the aerosols that are in that forest will have long-term beneficial effects on your immune system. Some of them actually have the characteristics of being anti-carcinogenic. And that lasts in your system for about a month. So in Japan, they actually do this as a thing. They have places called the Shenji Shrine. And they go into forest and do this. And so Diana it's about that, about the benefit of the forest and how many things and medicines that we can get out of the forest is that. And then the other part is how, if we don't stop and, you know, really her goal is, she says, we have a simple fix for this. We can't fix where we are now. However, if every one of us planted a tree every year, that would make an amazing difference. So part of the film is talking about the last remaining huge chunks of forest. The last largest remaining of virgin great forest in the world is in Canada. And they're trying to put part of the tar sands on that forest, this rare forest. And that really she's about projects of, you know, getting people to plant trees in cities, on schools. Schools are really great places in Japan. They plant a lot of trees on schools because it's public property and it's easy to get trees on. And as she says, as she closes, just remember, every time you take a breath, thank a tree. So it's about that.
Sounds like a wonderful book, too, Benefits of the Forest.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Isn't it?
Great. It was great.
We are going to be talking today about people being happy, and you're talking about them being happy in the forest. And I think when we have a partner, our immune system is enhanced. There's less stress. We're just happier. So we're going to talk a bit today about having a partner, the reasons for having a partner. But we have a few announcements before we start. I have one quick one that our cholesterol class is starting tomorrow. Philip, I see your hand up. Okay. Our cholesterol class is starting tomorrow. So if people want to join us for that, those of you who are already practitioners, that would be great. We have two spaces left in that class. Well, we did as of Friday. So, Richard, do you have any announcements before we start?
I do have a brief one, since I went on so long about the conference. I do have an announcement about the DARC Act, which went before Congress. And for people who don't know, we just knew it was a bad, scary thing. I really had not recalled that what that stood for was denying Americans the right to know. It was actually, I mean, that's actually what the acronym stands for, is denying Americans the right to know. And it had to do with a bill going before Congress. Basically, the bill, if it had gotten voted in, would have said federally that we were not able to label foods whether they were GMO or not. So that, the good news is that it required 60 votes to pass. It only got 49. That's the good news. The bad news is, really? It got 49 votes for yes? There's that.
We need a list of those 49 people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm hoping somebody will produce that. And that this will go before Congress again. There's already conversation about, you know, changing some of the, you know, commas and the semicolons and, you know, adding in something tricky. And it will go before Congress again. But so it's something to be watched. But at least in round one, the good news is it didn't happen. So that's really great.
There is so much going on. We had to really look between that week between last year and this year. They tried to sneak through a lot of things. And Ralph Fusitola, thevitaminlawyer.com, is always on alert for things that are happening then because they think nobody's paying attention. Well, I think they've just really got their hands full now. The people are paying attention, and they're just fed up. There was a thing on the news last night that a lot of these protesters, some of them actually turned themselves in and said they were paid to go protest. And so they were given different stories. Some of them were saying they were paid by the Clinton campaign. Some were saying they were paid by not Anonymous, although I find that really strange that Anonymous doesn't want Trump to have any clout. That's just strange. But I'm just getting so fed up with all of this. It's all you hear on the news. And people are so manipulative. They're losing their right to control people or control what people know, like this DARC Act. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Any other announcements? I did not do the keynote, but I will do that this afternoon. We also have our Guardian program this afternoon, evening, 6 to 8. And that Guardian program, anybody who is a 5-day practitioner gets to come to that class for free. And if not, it is, I think it's $40 a month. And you get a 2-hour class and a software. And this month it's iWatcher. And we teach you how to use that iWatcher. I put a whole scenario together of all the nutrients for people's eyes. So that will be a good class this evening for those of you who are guardians. And I very much appreciate the guardians. That is health for the people, by the people. Richard, I am glad you are so protective of the planet. You are joining in such wonderful, good projects. So thank you for doing that and bringing the information back to the rest of us. I wanted to start today's class, unless you have any other announcements.
Nope. Let's go.
Okay. With a statement that I think is the most important statement I have ever said to any class or any group that we've been doing since we've been doing these shows. That whoever cares the least has the control in the relationship. Whoever cares the least has the control in the relationship. So keep that in mind, and then know that when we are looking for a mate, because this show is about your perfect partner, we oftentimes settle for less than what we want, try to make the person into what we want, just to have somebody, just to give in to shoulds and oughts from social pressure, and maybe a need to be taken care of. Richard, can you think of other reasons to have a partner?
I've known people who are in relationship because they think they should be, or it makes them feel comfortable, or, you know, sometimes, I mean, there is the classic, you know, film version of where we see each other's eye, you know, you gaze into somebody's eyes from across the room, and the harps play, and the angels, you know, sing, and you've fallen in love with the love of your life. That's a theory. I've never had that experience myself. So that's an idea. I'm trying to think of other ideas.
Companionship?
Yes, that's it. That's the one I was looking for, companionship.
Mutual interests, like loving the forest or loving to cook or being an herbalist.
Yeah, yeah.
To have children. But when we settle, there's a problem that comes up. We end up with people who are narcissists, people who are psychopaths, people who are sociopaths. Because, again, if you're trying to make yourself into the person they want, or you're trying to make them into the person you want, newsflash, you're with the wrong person. And I've had that run through the forest, love of your life kind of thing in my life. And he's dead now and died very young. But it's so different from seeing somebody and knowing there's a connection and just, okay, well, that will do. So I thought I would talk about a couple of things, about finding yourself first, having a foundation for who you want and what you want. So if you don't have a pen and paper, I'm going to give you some information you might want to jot down. You know, a lot of psychologists talk about parent, child, and adult and three ways people respond. So if it's a child-child relationship, there's probably not going to be a relationship. And I'm not talking about your age. I'm talking about somebody acting like a child when they're grown up. So you have the child who's manipulative and wants to be taken care of and doesn't want to do much for anybody else. And a lot of times they're kind of whiny. Then there's the adult who tries to dictate what you should eat, what you should wear, how you should keep the house, who you should talk to. A lot of times parent-child get together kind of thing because they seem to need each other. But those run-through-the-forest equal relationships are adult-to-adult relationships. And here's another piece of information, totally my opinion, that in a relationship you don't have to beg an adult to take their share of the responsibility. It's usually a 60-60 kind of responsibility. And we're looking at needy relationships where there is a child or a parent, and it's not an adult to adult. That the psychopath comes in, and we have had this looked at more than once on our show, that a psychopath and a sociopath. So when we begin to look at those, the sociopath does things without feeling, without remorse. They often will be abusive. So I found some things online, and I'll put this in the links for you. Too often these terms, sociopath and psychopath, are mixed up. So I found something that I thought might separate that for us. That a sociopath has a conscience, although it's a weak one, and they usually want it their way, and they usually act like an adult, no, I'm sorry, act like a parent, really a bully first, and if they don't get their way, then they become a petulant child. In terms of a sociopath, they have no conscience, and they will either strike out, manipulate, kill you. Jeffrey Dahmer ate a lot of people. They lack total empathy. So if you are with somebody that wants their way all the time, then you are probably with one of these kinds, a sociopath or a psychopath. And within this description, there is something called a narcissist. And your partner is a narcissist. Here's 50 ways to tell. You, the first 10 or so, are the best. When something goes wrong, does your partner blame everyone but himself? Does your partner refuse to be accountable? Does your partner believe he and she's always right? Is your partner unable to tune in to your feelings or your children's? Does your partner seem more concerned about how your behavior is going to reflect on them? Does your partner seem to be out of touch with their own feelings, often denying what you're saying, even to the point of, I have a headache. Oh, you couldn't possibly have a headache. That's just crazy, but they do it. Hold grudges. All about the partner, his money, his parenting. It's all about him. You take them an article that you really liked and they ignore you and want you to look at a picture of them. I mean, it's all about them. And when you say something, you know, why is this about you? Why is it always about you? They get startled that you think that way. Unwilling to listen, constantly telling you what to do, makes you feel not good enough. These things are a clue that you're in a relationship that's not an adult. It's in a relationship that is either, I'm sorry, it's not parent, it's not adult, it's some kind of parental control, even to the point of telling you what to dress and how to do your hair. You don't get a life, you have a parent. Richard, do you know relationships like this?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Am I stepping on your toes here?
No. I'm good. But I see them. I have friends who have that kind of relationship, and I watch it, and it just always surprises me because individually they're both smart people, but then they get into that dynamic, and it's like, really? Wow. Okay.
There is a book that we've talked about before on the show, and it's by Lundy, Lundy, Bancroft, Bancroft, if somebody would put that in the chat. And it's Why Did He Do That? Now, it's not really about he, although they talk in the book about that. It's really both people, he's and she's, because I see them in this book, and it's the most eye-opening book I think I ever read about relationships. Don't read it unless you want your relationship to improve or change, because it will. We ask Mr. Bancroft on the show, Lundy Bancroft, and he wanted $10,000 to be on the show. So that's, but it's an excellent, excellent book. You don't remember, you don't have to beg a partner to take their share of the responsibility. You have to beg a child partner, and again, not about age, but how they're acting. They think that if they don't do it, somebody else will. And they just leave it, the mess for you to clean up, or wherever they drop their dirty clothes or dishes or whatever. And with the parent as a partner, you can never do enough, be enough, change enough, care enough, cook enough, wash enough. They're all the time on you to get it done. And it's not about this living room needs to be cleaned up, but you need to clean up this living room. It's a mess. So if you can recognize that child partner or parental partner, it's not a perfect mate, unless that's the really the way you want to live. But if there is somebody controlling you and you're not looking for an adult relationship, you're looking for a needy relationship. It's the difference between walking hand in hand as partners in parallel, supporting each other, and you're really having a needy relationship that you have to have each other. So it's just, it's really, I'm trying to not make a judgment here. Maybe there are people who like and want and that kind of relationship very useful for them, but I have never met anybody, counseled anybody, had anybody in the clinic who didn't complain. We had a couple come in here. She had MS. She was a bought bride from Russia. She had given this guy 8 sons. They all lived in one house, and she was just run ragged trying to take care of these 9 adult men. And so she got MS. And when they came into the clinic, the father, they came in together, and they were all lovey-dovey. And the husband was over here. He really loved his wife and blah, blah, blah. And she thought he was perfect. And when we finally separated them, it's like, oh, my God, I hate that man. How can you get rid of him for me? It was such a fake relationship. And these people that don't want the other partner to know what they're really thinking, it's because they need their needs to be met. They don't really love the other person. They love the other person loving them. And for one person to try to take care of 9 adult men in one household, it's no wonder she gave herself MS, where she couldn't get up and do anything. So I will put this narcissist, I wish I could say that word today, narcissist. I'll put up those 50 rules for a narcissist. And usually in this one, it's just the first 10 or 12. Thank you for putting all that information up, guys. Mark put up, why does he do that? And there was a subtitle, Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men. Actually, it's for women too, although it doesn't say that. So we're going to take our volunteer who put his hand up. It's Philip. And we're going to use one of our softwares, a compatibility software, and we're going to open his mic and ask him to talk to us. You can use this little program in tandem with someone else. If Philip had a partner, then we'd have the partner talk about Philip and Philip talk about the partner, and you could see how they match or don't match. So we would probably do this 3 or 4 times. What kind of partner do you want? What kind of partner do you think you are? And we would put those side by side so you could see them. And after we talk about Philip a bit, I'm going to give you 5 issues that if you work on them for a couple of days, you'll end up knowing what kind of partner you really want, if this doesn't seem to fit. Because people haven't sat down and thought about this to a great extent. They want somebody who's honest and upfront and satisfies what they want in other person looks. They like long hair, short hair, a beard, skinny people, athletic looking. I mean, they have some clue because their body responds. But I'm going to give you some steps to really knowing what you want and what you don't want, and that's just as important. Having a partner, I think, makes the world go round. It certainly makes having children and raising them easier when you have a partner. So I think that's a very intimate, very integral part of who we are. And if we aren't happy in our relationship, then we usually aren't happy in our job or in our relationships with other people or in our relationships with our community or the relationship with the political system. So we're seeing this as just a foundation of where we might want people to go. Now, this is a nano-based software, so you could go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and download the Nano Voice, but we're going to tell you how to get this compatibility program. Actually, for those of you who are online with us, we are going to do a drawing and give away one of these programs. So, Philip, I'm going to open your mic. You're unmuted now, Philip. Hello.
Okay.
You're a little low. Could you speak up just a little more?
Can you hear me now?
Barely. Barely hear you. Do you want to, are you?
I've got my Samson plugged in, but maybe you need to do something. I'll unplug it and see if that helps. How about now?
Well, that's a little better, but not much. Let me see if I can move the mic closer to you. And for those of you who have watched us do this before, we're going to hit the microphone, and I'm using a little Samson mic. I'm going to turn around the microphone and face the speaker. It's usually better if you don't do this on a cell phone, but we can get close. Okay, I'm going to hit OK, and then you're going to talk until the zero turns into 500 hits about what kind of partner you'd like. Okay?
How you say I should talk about what kind of partner I'd like, but first I have to tell you what kind of partner I am. My spirit body is what I focus on, and I have an organ, a spiritual organ, which I say transforms spiritual energy into physical things. And what makes it go is that it's love. It's like a lubricant. So when I'm in love, it's easier to do this. And I see that I'm almost finished.
Looks good. I can barely hear you, so you'll probably need to explain some of this as we go on. First thing we need to do is put your name in here. And Philip, and you have MCK after your name in, so that's how we're going to put this in. And let's say it's one. That's how you signed in. We don't need date of birth. And topic, perfect mate, and I heard you say love and something about when you're in love. Was that what you said?
Yes.
When and love. Okay, we want to save this, so I'm going to roll over the name and do Control-C to copy it, and then go to this little icon that says Save, and we're going to save this so we can come back to it. Now, when just looking at it, you're a multitasker. You're very good on your feet. You can react without a lot of planning. Your emotions are involved physically and spiritually, but that's just what I see. Let's see what the computer says. You likely won't start the argument, but you'll damn well finish it. Your ability to step in and take over is not always appreciated. You can, wow, you can be tactless and even, and not even realize that you have insulted someone. Ooh, you were just attempting to be helpful. You can put all of the pieces together quickly before your partner knows what the relationship is headed for. Your attempt to control your partner will end up pushing them away. Your need to be right demonstrates a lack of maturity. Wow, that's kind of negative. Let's look and see what that's from all of this ego stuff here. Either you have something in your background that's creating a note of C, or these traits fit you. And I'm afraid to ask. Do any of them fit you?
Well, I do like to have my own way, but I've arrived at the point in life where I don't have to have my own way all the time. Now, I do need a strong partner. A weak partner just gets trampled on. However, I'm known to be kind-hearted, but at the same time, I'm diamond hard. So, just a little aside, my mother tells me that I've got a mean streak a mile wide, just like my grandmother. And I say to her, no, my grandmother was a disciplined woman, and that's what I am. So, what can I tell you?
Okay, let's go over here a minute to look at where this information is coming from. So if, what is this? Sound Health Options Failed. I'm going to go to Downloads and go to the Nano Voice and look at this chart. You can download it, just double click it. And you have a lot of the note of C. And that says self-power, ego, self-directed, leader, excitement, physically motivated, large, thick muscles, female reproduction. It has to go with C-sharp. So we're looking at emotional over here if people want to know where we're getting this information. And if we look back, well, why won't that let me go where I want to go? If we look back at the frequencies here, you have 108 in the note of C. And that's what we just read. And that's a little over twice normal. It doesn't come close to any of the other. So that's why it's pushing that idea of self-power, and you just confirmed it. So that's good to know. Usually what's going on right now is at the bottom. You will need a strong partner who will stand up to you and remind you that you might be being selfish, and you just said that. You like to take the lead and have ability to move over when someone else needs the limelight. Well, that says you're empathetic. You have the ability to plan and foresee the reactions of your advances. So do you think you're ahead of people, even in not maybe a romantic relationship, but even in business relationship? You can see where something's going far quicker than someone else?
I've had to tell numerous people that I operate 3 standard deviations beyond the mean. So, I'm elevated in that respect, but I think that my spirituality helps to make me a complete person.
Okay, well, there is a lot of spirituality in your chart. You're looking at A and A sharp here, and G sharp means taking care of others in a physical way, but you also have a strong sense of justice. You wouldn't do something just because you wanted it that way. You'd do it because that's the right thing to do, and other people can't see it or might not be able to see it. So you're generous with your time, affection, and property, but you don't like to be taken from on any level. Consider every side of an issue is easy for you, but may not be for those around you. You will need to gently serve as a mediator. you could be a good counsel for others even if you're involved in the fray. So that's that really strong sense of justice here. You can feel the emotions of others and often assume that your partner can also. You are good at mentally going over a conversation with your partner before you actually approach a difficult subject. Not knowing where things are leading makes you very cautious. Dig a little deeper for more direction and satisfaction. Planning and actually doing needs more balance in your love life. In support of your partner's growth, you often take the blame in order to teach some important lessons. You can easily see the end goal and often take a back seat in order to accomplish what needs to be done. Now, there's some controversy there between the first and the last paragraphs, and I read the paragraphs because there are people on Blog Talk Radio who are just listening to what we are saying. But there's more paragraphs here that we haven't read. Being silent and letting someone come to you may not feel like the correct approach, but try it even though you may feel a bit reluctant. Philip, is there anything in here that you did not know?
I'd say no. It's a pretty accurate representation of who I am.
Would you say there are things, how do I put that? Things in here that other people may think about you, but you don't think about yourself?
Well, my intimates, they know me, and to the others, I'm a mystery, but that's the way it is.
Well, this is not 100% positive. It says there's some lessons to be learned. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm here playing to grow and complete myself.
Wow, you're here on the earth plane to grow and complete yourself. I love it. So what would you think? This is pretty accurate, it seems, for you.
Well, let me make you laugh. The woman of my dreams, I saw her last summer, and I made a comment, and she made a physical response and never said a word, but her vibration captured my attention, and it's been, I've wanted to interact with her, but it's not possible at the moment, so that part of the analysis that says that I need to relax and let it come to me, I'm working on that.
That's great to hear. It makes my heart smile. So you're not willing to settle. You're going to wait it out.
Well, I think I didn't get to say it in the analysis, but what I'm looking for is someone who is spiritually alive, intelligent, and emotionally stable. And this woman is all of that, and she's actually very sophisticated. So she could be an absolute match for me when the moment arrives. But I've got to be patient, and that's a fair meaning of the name Philip, is patient. So I'm trying to learn it and demonstrate it.
Well, it sounds wonderful. If you could let us know when good things happen, we could have an end to the story.
I promise I will.
All right. So we're going to save this, and we'll send it on to you, Philip. Thank you. I'm going to mute his mic again. I will save this over here. Okay, he was talking about what kind of a partner he wanted. Is there anybody willing to talk about what kind of a partner they think they would be? So go down to the bottom of the participants list and raise your hand if you want to be part of what's going on here. And I'm going to keep this and then start over. Richard, are you willing to volunteer?
Sure.
we've done some things like this before with you. I'm going to use the longer program for yours. We have Compatibility Compass, which is the public short program, and it has 3 or 4 paragraphs. So Richard is going to talk to us about what kind of partner he thinks he is, not necessarily what kind of partner he wants, or you can do them both if you want. Richard,
I'm curious about the analysis of what kind of partner I think I am, so I'll do that.
Okay. What kind of partner he would be? And you've been in relationships, so you've got a lot of experience to draw on. very nice.
Excuse me. Yes. Yes, that was very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Richard, we've had you talk about this kind of thing before. Not a lot of people will talk about what they really think about themselves, but we have sort of exposed you on camera many times. And so you've done that when it wasn't specifically love life and compatibility. So I'd be real interested to hear the difference between what we've done before and now. Are you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Go.
My perception of how I am in a partnership is that I'm kind and generous. And loving and caring and want to be, you know, in touch and in connection with my partner. I think I'm tricky in that I get hyper-focused in my work, and that is my primary drive, is to, you know, I like working, not because I don't like life or I don't like being out in the world, but I enjoy what I do. I enjoy, you know, working with people, talking to the microphone. And so that can be tricky because I sometimes have to be kind of, you know, like dragged out to be social. I'm not exactly antisocial, but I'm kind of, you know, I do what I do and then the rest falls into place. Whoop, and we're done. Wow, really? What does that mean? I'm looking at the chart when I say that for people on Blog Talk Radio.
You're very good spontaneously and good on your feet, and your partner and you would have to be doing something physical, like a project, making a meal, going to a conference and videotaping. Richard, partner. Okay. So we're going to roll over this, and all the instructions for this are on that Nano Voice. Link. Okay, let's look at the bottom first, because that's always now. But see how much more information there is here? This is for the professional, and this is called Compatibility Pathways. The other is Compatibility Compass, to point you in a direction. And this is the professional model for therapists. You can see and explain the best path to move things forward. You need your quiet self-dialogues. Your need for quiet self-dialogue need to be understood by your partner. Don't abuse your partner by providing the plan and then not participating equally. Remember that your partner may not share your view of the outcome. Communicate about the plan. Boy, that's only 4 sentences. My Lord, you could write a book on it.
Jeez. I feel like I need to sit down. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that you?
I don't know about this plan thing. I'm not much of a planner except when it comes to, doing shows or that kind of part of my organization. The rest of my life is kind of, you know, on a it appears kind of thing. I can definitely see this second sentence about my need for quiet self-dialogues, although that makes me sound slightly like I'm in a padded cell. But, or at least in my mind. But I do have, there is a lot of that. I mean, when I start think about a show, when we're getting ready to, you know, interview somebody, I'm thinking about that show for 3 or 4 days before we do it and formulating questions in my mind and working on their information.
Even while you're doing other things?
Even while I'm doing other things, it's always sort of in the background. Something, you know, I read something else and I see something and it goes, oh, that would be a good, you know, to apply it to the shows. this don't abuse your partner by providing the plan and then not participating equally, I kind of understand that, but I may need to seek therapeutic assistance. I'm not quite sure. I kind of understand it.
It could be something like a party where you're planning and inviting and doing the meal and cleaning up. And
right.
In that case, you would participate because you are a chef and you'd kind of be in charge or whatever. So
yeah.
I think it means that. I mean, okay, here's a plan to Bermuda, and then you leave all the planning up to them.
Right. Or I don't actually, once I actually commit to a plan and get it figured out, that I don't actually participate because I'm too busy with this quiet self-dialogue part. That
well, it says equally here. That's a good word.
Okay. Okay. All right.
There may be conflict if your partner needs to change your physical comfort zone. Whoa.
Boy, howdy. Yeah, that's, Okay, that's me.
That really high G, it's you have a physical comfort zone that you're not ready to move out of.
Yeah, this would be a great report to have to take to a therapist. Here, read this, and let's work on that.
Physically showing appreciation is important to you for both giving and receiving. I would think by looking at your chart here that you're more comfortable with receiving than giving.
Actually, it's kind of the opposite. I'm much better at giving than receiving.
Oh, I thought that's what I said. I said it backwards.
No, you said it the other way. You said it backwards.
This note of B is missing. So your giving is a universal principle. It's not necessarily a ego physical principle. Unlike Philip, you don't have any of the ego stuff attached here. So that would make it you can fly easily with no plan.
Yes.
You may have physical sides that you present at a whim. That's where that would come in, too. You enjoy the company of people who are comfortable and in a natural environment. Yes? No?
Yes. Yeah. I can go into any particularly. I sort of fluff that out by saying that, you know, particularly. I can go into other people's homes happily at any kind of, you know, whatever kind of festivity and be happy to step into the kitchen and not only be in the conversation, but also at the same time, you know, making food while having conversation. So, yeah, I can do that anytime.
See that noted G, that I want to be in the physical issues here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a really important issue. Take time to cultivate and combine the spiritual as well as the physical side of your relationships. From this, it says the spiritual is more important to you than the physical.
Yes.
Richard, do you think that's our age?
It may be I can't tell. I've always kind of been driven, I've kind of always been that way, so I think age has just made it, how would I say that? Slightly more inflamed. You know, the spiritual part is more important in a certain way. Well, I'm trying to think of it as a health condition. It is more so, you know, that part of the relationship is, you know, really a key element.
Spiritual relationships can carry you when physical is not available. Moving physically to include the spiritual side of your relationship will help sustain emotional balance.
Mm.
Boy, this is some thick stuff, Richard.
Jeez. We've splayed me apart before, but this is pretty gnarly. It's good.
You do for others just because they ask, not because they deserve.
Do
for others.
I mean, yes.
Do for others more quickly than you do for yourself.
Yes.
Helping people grow emotionally is rewarding to you. Don't settle for ideas. You seek physical satisfaction. Yeah, look at this thing you're at this weekend. Emotional and physical loving go hand in hand for you. Sometimes your unexpected emotional responses are actually a sense of physical dissatisfaction with your surroundings.
Huh.
Hmm. You get a little snippy sometimes in your physical surroundings.
Snippy. That's not. I don't think of myself as snippy, but yes, there could be that. Yeah. Yeah. They're actually, I'll make a point. Actually, I'll make an observation from this conference that I was just at, and some of the people that I know a bunch of these people at the conferences that I attend, and they will know that if I get physically, you know, dissatisfied with what's the happening or just the amount of noise or cacophony or whatever it is, that I'll just leave. And I don't mean the complete, you know, grounds. Sometimes that's happened, but I, like, kind of, like, once I'm over it, I'm done. So, yeah, I'm kind of known for that. So that would be my side of being snippy.
Hmm. Expressing your true emotions is a private matter for you. Unless Joseph is involved and we've taken you apart on radio.
Yeah, exactly. On radio, I'm happy to express my true emotions. In person, not so much. Yeah.
Your partner needs to understand that you are more physical than verbal. Do you give off a lot of physical clues? Yep, you just said that. You like to look good, you like to hear what others think, and you don't want to talk about yourself.
Except
Richard,
on air.
This just seems like I made it up on the spot.
This is, if people weren't seeing this report, for people, I have to say this every once in a while, for people who are on Blog Talk Radio, we're looking at a report that a computer program printed out that we're reading. Sherry is not a psychic. But if you were only listening to this and didn't know, it would make you sound like the world's most amazing psychic. This is a report. It's in print. I'm reading it. It's amazing.
Wow. Expressing your true emotions, unless justice is involved in the environment, is your source of justice for... expressing your true emotions, private matter, your partner needs to understand. Oh, I read that already.
Yeah.
Issues, cellular oxygenation may need monitoring before strenuous play is initiated.
Hmm.
Making out directly after eating is not your most compatible time. An empty stomach will allow for more carnal playtime. You take physical pleasure in all things tactile and kinetic. Would you admit to that?
I would, yes. That's part of why I really enjoy the thing about being in the kitchen. Yes, I happened to be I was a chef, but I mean, I like being active, being kinetic while having all this conversation at the same time. That's like one of my favorite is being in the kitchen, cooking and talking.
You can get involved quickly without knowing all the facts when you perceive an injustice. Those around you attempt to influence you through your emotions. When you think what has happened is unfair, your first thought is to make things right. The fantasies are great, but a bit more reality would improve your outcomes. And we just read one little section of all of this.
Wow. I need to, lay down and rest now. Wow.
And just laid you bare. We have a lot of people who have volunteered to be a partner. I don't know that we have time. We have 7 minutes. Well, let's see. You know, I think looking at you and Philip would make a great pair because you guys would fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make these so we can see all of it. Make this a little smaller. For those of you on Blog Talk Radio, we are putting up two screens. Richard's screen, a graph, which goes from C to C sharp, D, D sharp, just like the Nano program. You know, we hit over 500,000 mark on Nano giveaways the other day. Isn't that absolutely awesome?
Wow.
We have registered over 500,000 people who have provided vocal prints, I guess, and then a readout from it. We put that up originally about, 6-7 years ago, to prove that information is in your voice about who you really are. And I think with the two of you, we have just proven this. We've looked at things you already knew, but maybe people around you didn't know it. And now, Philip and you both can take this hand in hand. See, it's right here. This is the kind of person I am. Even Philip's mother got in on the act and saying that he sometimes could be a bit grouchy. But look,
I could actually save that. I could actually save that report, print it out, and the next time I'm considering a relationship with somebody, have them read that report first. Work with that. What do you think? if this doesn't scare you away, we can talk about it.
Do you think they would try to bend to you, or just say, "Well, I can't deal with that," and walk away?
Well, there is that tricky. There is this tricky area, and I actually was. This is the perfect time. Is that there is that thing that, and maybe this is as we get when we're younger, we think this. There's always that classic. Like, I see this. I hear this more from women friends of mine, of where they go into a relationship thinking they're going to change him.
Yeah.
I hear that more as a statement from women than I do from men, although I've known men who've said it. And I think that is such a misguided, it's just not going to end well. This is only in my opinion, but I just have never seen it end well. I mean, it could be true of me, but I'm mostly observing it in other people I know because it's easier for me to see there. Is that when they come into this, you know, the idea of a relationship and thinking, I'm going to change that habit of his. Really? That is like such a bad way to go in.
Well,
it's so impossible.
Look at it this way. If you want to change them, they're not the person you wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
Awesome. When we first started this, we said, if there is a person who cares the least, they have the control in the relationship. And when we look at these two, and these people obviously aren't in a relationship, but you could ask, John, tell me about Sue. Sue, tell me about John. And use the compatibility here. In this relationship, you see that ego is not involved where Richard is concerned, but it is where Philip's concerned. So it's intellectual ego because it's yellow. And remember, you can order that tiny nano manual. Just go to soundhealthoptions.com, go to Nano Voice under Downloads, and at the very bottom sentence was write to this address to get your tiny nano manual. And then you can read about how to interpret these. But these two could come together on spontaneity, in working on something spontaneous. Look at where the most common thing is. G sharp is red for Richard. G sharp is red for Philip. So that's where they would come together, doing a project for the benefit of someone else. Now, where do they lack compatibility? Total lack on Richard's part in the note of C, he might just back off and let Philip have his way. Total lack of C sharp or justice. Now, it could be that Richard doesn't consider justice as part of a relationship, but certainly Philip does. Neither one have much D or D sharp, which is putting yourself out for other people on a one-to-one basis. I've heard Richard do that for a couple of people that I've helped him do vocal prints for them, because Richard is also a trained bioacoustic practitioner. On E and F, they're about equal, only Philip has yellow and his note of E, which is intellectual words, where Richard has spontaneous words. Being a radio announcer person, you could understand that. Also, intellectual planning on Philip's part, but spontaneous planning on Richard's part. Big problem with F. Philip has no F, carrying out the plan. And Richard's just going to jump in there and do whatever, even if it's wrong. Note of G, very little. Philip is emotional about physical things, and Richard is spontaneous. But the G sharp, if they were going to have a relationship, this is where they should start. The G sharp, doing something physical for other people and making sure that it's useful. So in each one of these, and I know we're running out of time, you can set each graph down and look at what's there and what's not there. And don't start with the blanks. Start with what they have mutually. So if you want to know how to approach somebody, how to write a paper for them, how to write an article for an editor, this is all relationship stuff. If you can get their vocal prints, if you can, we have a way for all of you to get a copy of this program. Go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and right beside, I think it's right beside downloads. Let me look. Right beside downloads, there, no, it's downloads and then links and media and then software. And Perfect Mate software is there, so you all can get a copy if you want it. And we are going to be doing a drawing from the people who are here. And if anybody's listening on Blog Talk Radio, please write to Sherry, Sharry Edwards, at gmail.com and tell me you want to be part of the drawing. We will do that at tomorrow noon if you'd like a copy of the program. You could start a business with this. You could start a matchmaking service with this. You could secretly talk to this computer program, and it will tell you who and what you are. It doesn't keep a copy of your voice, only the sounds of your voice. And if we had more time, we might compare Philip with, we have a couple other people who volunteered. Maybe we'll have to do this program again because it seems to be very popular. We have had more people write to us about this program. But I promised you some things that you could write down to be able to know yourself. So here's five things. What others do to you or for you to show they care about you. What others do to show they don't care. What you do to show somebody you love them. And what you do to show somebody you don't care about them. Now, in most relationships that we've counseled here, that's the starting problem. What one person says, that if they love me, they'd do this. And the other person says, if they hated me, they'd do this. And it's the same thing. So getting together, if you're in a relationship and you want to keep it, you want to work on it, these are four things that can help you get to the root. One of the issues with me and my husband is I used to say, boy, I just lost it, just blank. Don't scream at me. And he said, I'm not raising my voice. But screaming at me meant he was being very hard on me in a way that I didn't appreciate. He may not have been, yell at me. That's why I said, don't yell at me. He was being critical, and yelling was my definition of him being critical, even though he didn't raise his voice, and he just couldn't understand that. So the last one, and I'll tell you what to do with it next time we meet, which is probably going to be on Tuesday, and we're going to do some political things on Tuesday, and I'll tell you what to do with this one. Make a list of what you do for people you love. And remind me when we come back on Tuesday, because we're going to do some loving political things, and we'll tell you what to do with that. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Richard, for volunteering. Thank the rest of you who volunteered that we didn't get to. You'll be able to watch this show very soon. I'm going to be here in the studio editing this for the show, so I'll try to get it up within the next hour or so. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk later.
Have a great rest of the week, everybody. See you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.